Today's podcast is brought to you by Something Blue by Anita Kay, specializing in wedding and event photography. Visit her page on Facebook. For those in love, capture those memories with Something Blue by Anita Kay.
The Unbridled Enthusiasm Podcast with Mark Pulo starts now.
Power in the cartoon world.
A podcast, and I was told that if I did your podcast that I would, you know, advance to the next level.
And we're podcasting and photographizing in front of the great.
The worst gigs of their life are because of Mark Pulos.
Anyone want a husband? Free to a home. Now it doesn't even have to be a good home, just free to a home.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andre the Giant would like to do his impression of Willie Nelson.
Suck yourself dry!
Alright.
Alright.
Well, wait, I gotta do the intro. You bastard. Welcome to the Unbridled Enthusiasm Podcast. I'm Mark Pulos, and that voice you heard was Randy Ancarlo. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you.
You've already said something, so you can start talking again.
I ruined the intro.
Oh, that's all right. These people have heard the intro 100 times. Sometimes they want to hear it mixed up. Maybe I should have had you do the intro, Randy.
Let's restart.
So let's start it out. Apparently, you're in love with me. Let's talk about this. We are in Duluth, Minnesota. Is this Duluth?
Is this Hermantown?
Okay. Well, we did a show at the Beacon in Hermantown. Beautiful bar. It's a really nice place. First time they did comedy. So obviously a little kinks in the armor, kind of trying to figure things out. We lost a couple mics during the show, and
lost two.
Yeah, the back bar was watching the hockey game, and a lot of chatter.
Lots of chatter.
A couple douchebag hecklers. All in all, yep. I think it went well. But while I was on stage, Randy was trying to sext with his girlfriend. And he accidentally sent the message to me, and it was kind of funny.
Sorry about it, the just dick said, pic.
I love you. And then, oh, wrong person. You're on stage. How did you feel about last night, Randy? I think you had a really good set.
I thought it was all right. They were, you can't tell when you're up there.
Like two or three huge applause breaks last night. You know, you always get a huge one on the Brett Favre joke. That one always kills, especially in this area.
Yeah, then
being so close to Minnesota, Wisconsin. And keep your eyes open, folks, for the new Old Spice stripper t-shirt coming out soon.
Yeah. I'll hopefully get those ordered this week.
Well, that's nice. I thank you for this weekend. I mean, I don't think this weekend would have existed without your hand in getting this going. So
you did half of it.
Well, we did all right.
Yeah.
After this podcast, I'm taking you out for a nice Sammy's pizza. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Randy, always on the show, always talking about Dustin Diamond. I don't want to spend too much time on it. I think we've done 2 hours on Dustin Diamond, and I don't want you to feel like the only reason I have you on the show is so we can dish about Dustin Diamond. But
no, it's all right.
So he is presently in prison.
He finally appealed his withdrew his appeal.
Okay. I suppose he just figured I might as well just get to it.
Yeah,
get to the ass raping. How many people do you think are beat? Like, there was a story in the news the other day about Jared that, he's so under stress in there that he, like, goes down to the lunchroom and, like, eats an entire box of honey buns by himself, and he's gained, like, 30 pounds in, like, a month and a half or something.
I thought it was, like, 50. Yeah, 30 but, pounds.
They're, like, smacking him around in there, and like was there a different guy that just got attacked in prison, or was that Jared?
Was it Jared?
I feel like somebody else got somebody well known that had to go to jail for a bit. got attacked by somebody, and it was big news. But I know there was a story about him getting smacked around in the lunchroom by some other prisoner, and
find it.
He just kind of stood there and took it. Because, like, what, you know, what else are you going to do?
All right, I didn't, he's in general population then?
Yeah. And that's, like, the worst thing ever I've heard, at least from TV shows and movies, that if you go to prison as a child molester or whatever, they'll beat the shit out of you and, like, mess with you and shit. But, I mean, prison does not sound fun at all.
No, no, like, it sounds terrible.
I was
especially
watching.
If you have to see Dustin Diamond in there.
I wonder if it's like Tropic Thunder, where they just force him to do the USA by the bell, and then at the end he just gets ass raped.
Not this time, Dustin.
That would be a horrible life in prison for 4 months. You'd have to do the Saved by the Bell episodes every week. Time for our morning Saved by the Bell episode, you know. It sounds like something they would do, like, in the 50s prison time, because I'm sure, like, the way the prison system is now, they probably have full cable and Netflix and Hulu and all that shit. So
jail's not even. I spent one night in jail.
You did?
Yeah.
When was this?
Back in 2010.
2010.
When I got a DUI back then. And
so what's the story of the night? Let's get into this. So you were out drinking with some buddies.
It's actually funny enough. We did La Crosse, Wisconsin together the night before I got my DUI.
Son of a bitch. Was this my fault?
No. No.
Where did you go after La Crosse?
I went home to...
So you drove home to Duluth, got drunk, and got a DUI in Duluth?
Yeah, the next night.
Jesus, man. It's fucking Duluth. Get an Uber.
It was stupid.
Well, was there Uber in 2010?
No.
Probably not.
Not up here, even.
Yeah.
There wasn't in 2010. So I drove a lot.
Wait, was it wintertime?
It was in May.
All right, listen, this is the stupidest DUI I've ever heard. It's May in Duluth. You can't walk like 10 miles. Come on.
Oh, I was living in my grandma's house in Superior.
So
it was across a bridge.
I've had, in my career, in my life, I've had 3 close calls with a DUI. And frankly, the one, I'm still surprised to this day that I wasn't arrested. I was doing the Skyline, and me and Rob Breckenridge and this female comedian, I think her name was Lauren Garcia or something like that. Very beautiful. I mean, this was like 2004, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I was auditioning to work for the Skyline, so Rob got me on the show, and then we went out drinking afterwards, and everybody got drunk, and I just had driven us over there in my car, so they're like, well, you have to drive. And
oh my God.
I was like, oh my God. So I stupidly pulled a U-turn in the middle of the street, and the cop immediately pulled me over, and then the chick's like, let me handle this, and she kind of like leaned over me and was like flirting with the cop, telling him we're the comics from the Skyline and don't give us a hard time. And she's like, there'll be tickets waiting for you at the window. And I was like, this is bribery. Yeah. And he let me go.
Show the next night?
I was just spotting, so I had to go to someplace else the next day, but I didn't ever hear if he did or not, but I was like, holy shit, that was so scary. Like,
right.
And then I had one where I got drunk at like a backyard barbecue, and they had like keg beer.
Oh God.
And I was like going to my car, and there was a girl sitting on this was like, I think second year of college maybe. And this girl was like crying on the curb on the street, and I was like, why are you crying? And she was like, oh, all my friends left, I've got no ride home or whatever, you know. And like, what was that, 98? I think I was like 22 at the time. I was like, my dick was doing all the thinking. And he's like, let's give her a ride home. It can't be that far, you know? And she's like,
down,
oh.
And he's like, let's do this.
Yeah, she's like, hey, I really appreciate it. So I'm like, yeah, no problem, you know? So she lived like 35 miles from this party, and I was like, this is a stupid idea. But still, I had hope. We got to her place, and I was like,
35 miles.
I go, I'm pretty drunk. Can I come in and just hang out? And she was like,
I live with my parents, so bye.
Oh, no.
And I was like, fucking A. So, like, I was like, I have to drive home now. So I'm, like, going, like, 10 miles an hour on the highway. And thankfully, like, I saw a speed trap or whatever, and it just started, like, downpouring like you wouldn't believe. So, like, everybody had to go, like, 10 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
So it took me, like, an hour to get home, but...
That's funny.
What was your story, sir?
I have a story kind of like that. This is different. I was drinking one night.
So were you actually drunk the night you got the DUI?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, is this the story you're telling now is different from
the
arrest?
Yeah, this is a different... Oh, okay. This is just kind of like yours. This was a girl crying on the curb.
They always kid us. Why are they always crying on the curb? You ladies. Damn you ladies. Stop crying.
So
on the
she
curb.
Was like, we were talking, and she's like, can you give me a ride home and come in and hang out? And I was like, yeah.
Wow, she went a step further. She was.
Because she knew the situation.
Into the house when we get there.
So we walk in, and she's like, God damn it. And I was like, what? And she's like, my ex boyfriend is home. And I was like,
Oh, boy. Yikes. And your dick is still like. So are we?
Does
still
he sleep on the couch now?
Should I head out of here?
Is it two bedrooms? Still, it was pretty awkward. He's like, you should go now.
So what did you leave?
I was like, yeah. Oh, wow, that's you're kind that's of big. Pretty clear. I'll go.
You should go now.
He's like, thanks for bringing my vagina
night,
home.
What is the night of your? Oh yeah, thanks for giving my vagina a ride. So what was the story of the night you actually got pinched?
No, I was very, very drunk, and
what was the mistake that you made that got you pulled over? I'm always interested.
This is embarrassing.
Because like, yeah. Oh boy.
I don't know where I went wrong, but I was going on the bridge to get home, and there's a curve that you have to go across to before you go on the bridge. And I don't know, in my drunk mind, I was like, I'm going to floor it right here.
Yeah. Oh, Randy.
I was 21.
You just fucking foot to the floor and just went for it.
Gunned it right into the guardrail.
Oh, my God.
So I pull over and get out. And... for, I don't know, like 20 minutes, I'm just standing there looking at my car, deciding if I should try and change the tire or not. Yeah.
Oh, so gone. The tire blew.
It was completely gone.
Oh, shit.
And so was I.
So 20 minutes, you're just standing there. And this is a pretty highly
right
trafficked street.
Right on a highway.
So your fucking car is just smashed into a guardrail, and you're just standing there staring at it for 20
minutes. Sitting outside of the car, deciding if I should just run.
Dude, you should have took
thought about
running,
it.
Man.
I thought about just hiding and reporting it stolen or something.
Because like, if they can't, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. But even
just
if you were
back
like
the next day,
you know, like I loaned my car to a buddy, and he said he crashed it into a guardrail or whatever. Or if the cops came to find you the next day, like, hey, we found your car abandoned, like, jammed into a guardrail. What's that about? And I don't know. But, like, standing there waiting
well,
for them to show
up. Well, I was worried, too.
Up.
I was like, what if they have cameras and they do investigating or something? Cause I always worry about that stuff. But, so, yeah, he came. And the cop actually, the car pulled up behind me with no lights on or anything, just their headlights. And I got excited. I was like, somebody's here to help me. So I ran over to his car, and then all of a sudden there's a flashlight in my face. And he's like, have you been drinking tonight? And I was like, no. And he's like, I can smell you from here. And so I went to jail.
Well, there's got to be more things in between that. So you were standing there for 20 minutes, and the cop shows
well,
up.
Well, I was standing there. I got the tire jack out of the trunk of my car, and I was like, I'm going to change this tire.
Oh my god, dude. Changing a tire drunk, that sounds like it'll work perfectly.
If you see where I put the jack, oh man, that car could have fell right on me.
You set up the jack under the headlight, like, here we go, let me jack this.
Completely, I think I had it in front of the tire.
You're like fucking Michael Scott from The Office, where you're actually trying to use the jack to unscrew the bolts on the wheel. You're like, doo, 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 doo. So how long were you there with your destroyed car before the police showed up? Was it 20 minutes?
It was probably more than 20 minutes. It was probably a half hour.
But you didn't call them. No. They just came upon you?
Yeah, what happened, I was in the process of changing the tire. Trying.
Yeah.
With the jack in the wrong spot. And a car pulls up behind me. And I got excited thinking somebody was going to help me.
Nope. So they're going to help you go to jail. That's about it.
That's exactly. I look back and I see him and I was excited. I start walking towards his car and all of a sudden there's a flashlight in my face. And he's like, have you been drinking tonight? And I was like, no.
Because you're fucking wearing like a Budweiser sports jacket.
I was wearing a Dublin Pub t-shirt.
Oh, there you go. I haven't had a drink of alcohol, sir. I just felt like, why not see what happens when you run your car into a guardrail? And apparently it fucks up your car.
Walking towards him and he's like, I can smell you from here. I was like 20 feet away from him.
Oh, boy. Did you do the roadside test?
Oh, yeah. Well, I failed that.
They did the breathalyzer?
Yeah.
Do you remember your number?
I don't want to say it.
Please say it.
It was a .24.
Son of a bitch.
Three
you
times.
Were almost dead, buddy. I don't know that. Like .3, you'd probably be dead.
Well, when I got my public defender, and she's like, oh, don't worry. I've seen much worse than .24.
Oh, my God.
She was
what?
Dealing with a guy that blew like a .33.
That guy's like, his blood is probably alcohol. Like,
yeah.
He's pumping whiskey through his body.
At least it's good and thin. He's never.
So you went to jail that night.
I went to jail that night.
They processed you and you stayed in there for a night and then you got bailed out the next day?
I didn't get bailed out. It's actually pretty weird. I thought I was going to get away with it. I was 22.
Oh, Randy. He's like, I've seen Law and Order. I'm going to defend myself.
I'm going to go in there.
This is quite a caper, cops. I hope you have the evidence. Bam, 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 bam.
So, yeah. It actually just happened to be, it was Saturday night. The next day was Mother's Day.
Oh, that's the worst. You had to call your mom from jail to wish her a happy Mother's Day.
I was.
Did she ever ask why you didn't fucking contact her on Mother's Day?
What happened was, I know, like, when you go to jail on a Friday or Saturday, they keep you till Monday, right?
For sure.
With me, they let me go on Sunday.
Weird.
That's why I was like, I've never even heard of that before. Maybe this is just a scare. This didn't really just happen.
Yeah. They were probably just like, we got to clear these jails out so we can hose them out.
Get them out of here.
Or maybe they were doing some Mother's Day tour of the jail and they didn't want any prisoners in the cells.
We can't have this train wreck in here. So what happened, actually, jail was quite interesting. They put me in a jail cell with this other guy. And it was probably like 2 in the morning in my orange jumpsuit.
They actually fucking stripped you down and put the jumpsuit on?
Yeah, they made me shower.
Oh my
and stuff.
God, dude.
I was.
So who was. Did you ever find out what the guy did that was in the jail cell?
Yeah, we
with
were
you?
Talking and laughing all night because I was.
You guys were gabbing like a slumber party. Hey, officer, can we get some Milk Duds in here? Any chance you'll put on the fucking Babysitter Club movie?
So it was.
What were you guys talking about?
Oh, we were just laughing, and he told me what he was in there for. And,
what was he in there for?
He was in there for assault with a deadly weapon.
Wow.
7 times.
Sounds like a nice gent.
That was his 7th time being in there.
Let me see if I can describe this guy. About 6'2", maybe about 2 bills, bald,
tattoos.
Yep, a neck tattoo. That was exactly what he...
Oh, boy, I nailed that one. I gotta... What were you guys talking about, though?
We were just talking about his arrest and mine.
Like, who was he assaulting seven times? Just, like,
people just
that
different
pissed
people,
him off.
Yeah. He just got in seven different fights, and then... The thing that made us he's both like really
fucking,
laugh
he's
was...
He's like that fucking guy from Shawshank Redemption where that, he starts talking about the guy that guys that give him shit. That's who he fucking assaults. <That's>, yeah. he started giving me shit, so I shot him.
Seven different times.
Even this tasty bitch he was with.
But he looks at me and he's like, yeah, I got arrested earlier today. For the seventh time, and then he looks at me and he's like, but I didn't do it. And we both just start laughing.
It's like that movie, Liar Liar, with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
Where he keeps giving the guy the jacket. He goes, hey, I robbed another liquor store. What should I do? And he just screams on the phone, stop breaking the law, asshole! And just hangs up the phone.
Oh, that's funny.
That's probably the same phone call he had with his lawyer.
Same guy.
They got me again. What do I do? Stop breaking the law, asshole. So how long were you actually in the jail cell for? Was it for a full, like, 24 hours?
I think by the time it was all said and done, it was about 12 hours.
Still. Did you sleep?
A little bit, yeah. I woke up and...
And this guy was pulling your pants down. Shh. I want to tell you a story.
Why he looked out for me in there. We had to go down to eat breakfast, and I was just going to leave my bed unmade. Yeah. And he's like, no, you can't. You got to make it. They're going to yell at you.
The guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like a regular at the jail.
They're going to yell at you. What is this, fucking fifth grade? Make your bed, Randy. Your bed, or you don't get breakfast.
It was a gross breakfast.
I bet it probably was. What was it, just like liquid eggs and like
old biscuits? Yep, liquid eggs. It looked like dirty mop water in the eggs.
Oh, God.
The sausage was... All right.
You like jail sausage, don't you, Randy?
Sounds terrible.
In more ways than one. Hey-o. So you two guys are pen pals now? Do you send each other pictures?
I ride them every day in the jail. We're actually probably like a mile from the jail that I was at right now.
Yikes.
I don't
Is
think
Is he still
so.
In prison?
No.
You guys keep in touch?
I never talked to him again, but...
Do you go to the jail reunion?
Right after he told me he was in there for assault with a deadly weapon, he's like, do you want to play some cards with me? And I was like, not really. It sounds like you get
code?
Angry.
Yeah. Randy's like, four aces again. Bong, bing, bang. I guess I just want all your smokes. Did somebody bring you in cigarettes so you could keep myself in the
trading?
You had to buy your freedom
for my 12 hours in a...
What the hell did they call them in Shawshank? Not the maids, but the...
It's been a long time.
Fuck, I can't think of it now. But they were like the guys that raped everybody. They had a name for
Here's
them.
Here's your cigarettes.
I'll cast you down with the sodomites. You'll feel like you've been fucked by a train. Or am I being too obtuse? Well, I mean, did that whole experience of you being in prison, did like it actually jog yourself into being like, I need to be more careful, like I don't ever want to be back in here again? Like, did it, like they think, the people in authority feel like, you know, people go to jail for that small amount of time, it scares them straight or whatever.
I wish it did, but I was...
You do? What's that joke you do? 15 You're 15 and 1. And one. We'll see you in the playoffs.
Driving into a game. But I thought that it was going to, and like for probably like 3 weeks... After that DUI, I didn't drink at all. I didn't have a driver's license or a car anymore. All I had was my grandma's car, yeah.
For sure. So you just sat in the basement and pretend like it was a jail cell.
Yep.
And you called your buddy over.
I was pretty embarrassed, so I just...
No, I think the craziest thing I was ever involved in on the road was I was doing a gig in, I think it was Eau Claire, And Hanson used to have a Wednesday room in Eau Claire called Shenanigans, and it was like a college bar. So I was there with Tony Boswell, who was a comic from North Carolina, really cool guy. And after the show, these kids were buying us shots, and we literally drank like the exact same amount of liquor. But he was like, you know, 6'1", 180, and I'm like fucking, you know, 6'6", like 350. So heading back to the hotel, there was like two ways that you could get into the hotel. You could take a left, go down this like auxiliary street and turn into the hotel, but some people will just go up to the thing and just hook a U-turn and then just pull into the parking lot. But there's a sign there that says no U-turn, so I was like, I've been drinking, I'm not doing that. So I took the side road and went in, and he pulled the U-turn, and he got pulled over by the cops. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and my phone was ringing, and I was like, hello? And he was like, hey man, it's Tony. You got to come down and bail me out. I'm in jail. Like, he got pinched for a DUI. And he goes, but they're don't drive here because they're going to breathalyze you when you get here. Because I guess in what's probably the same law everywhere, that if you go to sign somebody out of jail, like, you can't be under the influence of drugs and alcohol, which is a good idea. You know, like, you're about to sign somebody out of prison and you're, you know, in charge of them. So it's like... So I got there, and I took a taxi, and I was like, this is going to be forever, because I drank so much liquor that night. The guy comes out, and he gives me a clipboard to fill out this paperwork, and he goes, have you been drinking tonight? And I said, yeah, but I took a taxi here. And he goes, blah, 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 you have to be below a 0.0 to sign anybody out of jail. So I'm like, okay. So I did the breathalyzer, and thinking that it was going to be like 0.1 or like 0.2, and I'm like, this
that's
is
what they
be forever.
Waited to let me out.
Because they wait till you're at 0.0 for you to sign the person out.
Oh my
god. So I was 0.01.
You're like, I need to drink more.
The guy goes, this will be about 5 minutes, and I was like, yeah, I was like, holy shit.
Was that even alcohol?
I wasn't drunk at all.
I don't.
But yeah, so. Have you ever had any other close calls? Like, it's terrifying, man. It's like, you know, now that I got kids, I don't
really
drink.
It's not even worth it.
At all, really.
I drank last night, but it was.
How much did that DUI cost you?
Just the DUI itself, with nothing else, was like $1,200. And then to be on probation for 2 years was $500. Then I had to take a driving with care class. And that was another $300. So we're looking at $2,000 right there. And then...
Yikes.
Right. Which...
Well, you didn't hire the lawyer.
You
went with the
public defender's office.
Right?
And they're like, just
so
plead
you
guilty.
Didn't have that cost.
And then she was 45 minutes late to court. She's awful. But yeah, it's like 2000. Oh, and then all the time you miss from work to get your driver's license. Yeah.
So that's on your record.
It's
now,
7 years, and it's still affecting me a lot. But three more years and it'll be gone. I think it comes off here. Yeah, that's my cool. Insurance finally went down.
Keep it clean, Randy. Keep it clean.
That's been good.
We were also talking about the. But we were also talking about the Minnesota comedy scene, which I just kind of laugh at now. It's quite a bit different nowadays than it used to be. You know, there seems to be this like
the
really specific divide between the new guys and the older guys. No, I think it's kind of, it happens like most of the time, you know, there's guys that have been doing it for like 7 to 15 years and then guys who are just starting who think they're reinventing
stand-up comedy. Their opinion matters.
Like, they're the greatest thing that's ever happened to stand-up comedy. And
yeah, that's...
Well, it's just... I don't need the snootiness. You know, we were talking, like, anytime I go out to the local scene and there's not somebody there that I'm really good friends with, it's like, you know, the middle-of-the-road guys like Gabe Noah and Chris Maddock and just, who is the other guy we're talking about? I don't know. But anyways, they just, they always have this air of like they're too cool for school, you know. And like, I remember when I did, I was MC, the last time I MC'd at the House of Comedy, they have a rule now that if you get hired, because I used to have a thing where like if you were the, you know, they bring in all the famous headliners, so then they would have like the local guys do the feature spots. And then if some of the nights the headliner wasn't going to be there, like if he was just going to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then you'd get to headline like Wednesday and Sunday and then feature the rest of the weekend. Well, now that they've changed the structure of it, if you get hired as the MC, you have to be the MC the whole week. Like so if the headliner isn't going to be there on Wednesday or Sunday, like they just bring in other guys.
Right.
Whereas it kind of sucks, like, you'd actually make a little bit more money if you could headline. But so I was MCing there the last time, and I think it was Dave Coulier who was headlining. And Sunday he wasn't doing it, so Chris Maddock was headlining Sunday. And he came. I feel bad, but he came in, and I go, "What's your credit? What do you want me to say for your credits or whatever?" And you know, he said, "I'm a stand-up records artist and just voted the number one comedian in Minneapolis." And I started laughing, and I went, "What
was that? Like a grumpy vote?"
And he got so mad at me, and I was like, "But I'm like,
because they've seen
no,
all
it was
of them.
City Pages. City Pages had voted him the best comedian of like 2014, I think, or something like that." And I was like, I go, "I'm sorry for the reaction, but I'm like, you do know the comedians that are from
you grilled him on it,
right?"
I'm like, he
is
called
this
you
of
a
all
dick
time or of last year?
Well, it's him that
like,
brought up
dick,
the like,
man. And I go,
shouldn't bring up something.
Yeah,
like that.
I go, no, oh, I'm just asking.
Number one, and then call other Minneapolis comics a dick when they laugh at you.
I'm just like, I don't get it. You know, it's like, you know, they just did a huge cover story on Dan Mogul, and I think Dan is hilarious, but it's just like the stories that they do about the comics in Minneapolis, like, you know, they are the young guys that are coming up, you know. I guess they got to keep it young and, you know, connected to like the Acme scene and that kind of shit. It's just like, you know, there's so many other comedians that are in Minneapolis.
Because those
that
guys
are
always out of town.
Working harder,
doing gigs.
But it's almost like they overlook them because
so
of this.
So I guess
like,
they're.
Yeah.
They're not around to be the number one Minneapolis
thing.
Comic.
They're not around to even be seen by whoever's writing this article. They're probably like Randy and Carlo, Mark Poulos. Who are these guys? Oh, those are the guys that are working.
I'm still
they're
stuck
gone.
That he's. I want to read this article
because we were
the
talking
City
about
Pages,
like,
and it was 2014.
Yeah, it's still online. Yeah.
Does he know it's 2016 now?
I think he was voted the best comedian in Minneapolis 2014.
Oh, was it?
Pages.
It's just.
Well,
somebody
this was back in 2014. Yeah, late 2014. That was the last time I MC'd there. But, like, all I keep hearing about lately is this Mike Lester guy. And I've never met the guy. But, like, Doug and Dana were like, "Hey, we've been hearing this really good buzz about Mike Lester. Do you want to take him with you on, like, this one gig or whatever?" And maybe I'm kind of a dick sometimes when it comes to, like, I did this corporate show in Iowa last week.
Oh, wow.
And Doug and Dana were like, "We hired Tiffany Norton to open for you."
Right.
And I'm good friends with Tiffany, but, I mean, let's be honest. Like, her wheelhouse is not corporate shows.
Right. That's not.
I mean, she talks about how her shit's tight and she's on Team Fuck It and all this stuff. And I'm like, but I'm not, like, questioning the booker. I'm like, if that's what you want, if they've requested a female comedian, like, more power to them. Like, I feel like they should get more opportunities. So then we got down there, and, And she asked me, she goes, so it's PG-13, right? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, what's your definition of PG-13? And I said, well, obviously no swear words, no graphic sexual stuff.
Don't do it.
Right. Just kind of try to, if you think that somebody might be offended about what you're about to say, you probably shouldn't say it. And she's like, oh, okay, sounds good. And then she got up there and like half of her set was really good and really clean. And then the thing I see a lot nowadays when I bring a comic with on a corporate show or they're put with me on a corporate show is like I feel like comics that haven't done corporate shows a lot, they have this air of like, well, yeah, it's PG-13, but like winky face, like they feel like halfway through their show they're going to somehow like have this bond with the crowd that it's okay now for me to do all this filthy stuff. And it's like, no, it's like the show is PG-13. And as much as you feel like the crowd is with you on the vulgar stuff, like
you're hired
that's
to be
not
clean.
What we're hired for. Like it's a fundraiser for the JCs. Like, so it's like, you know, 80% of her set was great, and then she started talking about how her shit was tight, and then she did this whole bit about her daughter being a part of some dick pic scandal at school, and I was like, oh man. But then after the show, like I came down and she had like set up the cell table and stuff for her
merchandise. All the merchandise for it?
And she didn't do the team fuck it joke.
Oh no.
But she had like all of the merchandise that says team fuck it on it on the table. Like she was selling license plates and bumper stickers and stuff and koozies that all said team fuck it on it. And I was like, I came out there and I go, so you're still gonna sell it then, huh? And she's like, there's no shame in this game. Mama's gotta make her money or something like that. And I'm just not very confrontational when it comes to anything, but you know, they were trying to force Mike Lester onto me. And, you know, when Dana said that she booked Tiffany Norton, she's like, well, so you guys can drive together.
It's not
together
fun to ride in a car
like,
with
I have this thing where if I don't know somebody that well,
awkward
like,
car ride
I don't
want to
ride in the car for 6 hours with them, even though we're saving money on gas. Like,
right.
Gas is cheap enough now, thank Christ.
I remember when we would.
I can make that decision nowadays where I can just drive by myself. Cause
few of those.
There was a time where it was so
together,
expensive
and,
that,
when gas
like,
was up
that
to,
wasn't
like, $4
an option.
A
like,
gallon.
You had to ride with people. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We went into California that one time. It was like $4.99. I was like, screw this. I'll run out of gas to go to Oregon to get some cheap gas. So they, you know, they're forcing Mike Lester on me, and I was like, he's probably funny, he's probably a good guy, but
that's,
I don't know him, and I don't want
to
ride.
That's the way it is. Just because you
hours,
both do
you
comedy
know?
Doesn't
I
mean
I might be a dick, but I'm just like,
you're gonna talk about it for 8 hours.
Yeah, and we're both from Minneapolis. It doesn't mean we're best friends. Like,
yeah,
15 years in the business, I kind of feel like I can drive myself places and listen to my own music and not have to force conversations for 8 hours. I'm sure we've both been in those situations where you're on the road with somebody that you don't like.
The car rides were
I
the worst.
I can imagine your car rides with Dustin Diamond. I think we talked about it a bunch of times, but I mean, 8, 10, 12 hours in the car with him, and he's got his drug plate.
I hate like
and you're trying to drive him
the
everywhere.
Entire car ride. He's always burping, and it sounds stupid to complain about, but yeah, but he would just burp super loud.
Oh yeah,
and like right
with
in
his
my
reflux
direction
or whatever. Oh God. So you had taught like. I actually have never talked to somebody that's actually worked with Mike Lester. Like, I don't think I've ever actually seen him.
He
do
actually
stand-up.
Talks
like,
about
what,
normal stuff. He's
what
actually
is,
like
his bits
he's
about
young.
Are they really weird
and
or is he?
He's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. He talks about working
what's
at Perkins.
Like the topic's just about being.
And he had some funny bits about all that. Right. He had
well,
braces.
Helpful.
I think he still might. He talks about his braces. I think he's really good. I saw him at Black Bear.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. I did recently. He was.
He did pretty well.
He was in Bismarck, North Dakota, and about 5 minutes into his set,
Bismarck, yeah,
Dakota the stage.
Dakota stage, right? If you live in Bismarck, great. Man, Dan, the entire you place need to is frequent that. Cool. That's awesome, and they yeah, do great comedy there.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, dude. Any place you go where they give you a basket of candy before you go on stage, like,
did I tell you the letters that she always writes for us downstairs?
Like, come on.
She said, it's good to see you finally got your shit together.
It's so fucking funny.
After that,
Randy, you need to get your life together.
No, I.
But
heard about the host as a DJ from a radio show.
You just heard about his set that was there.
He was hosting it, and so he.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he did.
I feel like this is a tough story, Randy.
And I guess about 5 minutes into his set,
the Dakota stage?
This lady trying to whisper to her friend was sitting maybe three rows back. She just looks at her friend and she says, "This is pathetic." About, yeah.
Dude, I hate that shit so much. About his set? Dude, I hate that shit so much. Like, literally the first road gig ever did with Cocozello, like, he was just, like, getting on the road and we did Livingston, Montana. And he was, like,
doing his best
and, like, getting some laughs. But it was rough, man. It was a small bar. There was, like, 12 people in there. And he's just working it, and he's trying. He's just about to get to his final joke. And he paused, and this guy over at the bar was like, "Man, you are the worst comic I've ever seen." And Joe was like, "What the fuck? I'm just about to do my closer, you fucking asshole." And he goes,
"It's not good."
"I'm sure it's not good." And then Joe was like, "Well, fuck that." And he just like walked off stage. So I went on stage and I'm like, "Dude, it's not cool." You know?
Pretty much the same thing.
But you were saying that like
28 minutes into my set.
And when you were at the
like Joe did, I paused. And this guy in the back of the room just yells out, "You suck." And walks out.
You know, it's starting to seem like maybe it's not the comedians, that sometimes the audience there is a little rough. Because wasn't there a story that maybe Amber was talking about, or some comic posted that there was like a group of girls that were like being real shitty and then they threw them out?
Yep.
And then they went and got the cops.
That actually, that's back in like 2009. I was working with Scott Derringer. We were doing a Comedy Connections in Toledo. That shut down, right?
Oh, okay.
And we had 5 bachelorette parties in one show.
Both of them are, thank God.
And that's, I thought one was enough to handle. We had 5. There was 5 on the Saturday early show. And
5.
So
holy fuck.
One of the brides drunk, and they kicked her out of the show. And she was like, the door opened in the club, and you can see like the counter, the ticket counter. I was on stage and that door opened, and she is like jumping on the counter trying to fight the ticket lady. The cops came and arrested her during my set.
Oh my God.
Have you ever had anything like that? Somebody get arrested during a comedy show?
I just don't get it. Like, I was doing, dude, so there's so much shit that's gone down while I've been, like last week or the week before last, I was in Springfield, Illinois doing Donnie B's, and it was Saturday early show, and like the MC was on stage and they told this guy to shut up like 3 times, and he was just like, talking at high volume to his friend across the table. And they were like, last chance. And he's like, go fuck yourself. And they were like, gone. And then he's like,
yeah,
I'm never coming back here. I'm going to tell everybody. And he goes, tell them what you want. You're the asshole in this situation, you know? But no, the I think the craziest thing I ever saw was I was working at the Comics Cafe in Rochester, New York. And I was opening for Jimmy Schubert. And I think it was early show Friday. Like, there was a group of, like, 40-year-old ladies that were having a birthday party for a friend. And I feel like I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. So they were interrupting me while I was on stage, but it was, like, harmless questions and, like, harmless interrupting. They weren't, like, heckling me. No, they're just like, I do a joke.
They're just really interactive, really friendly, like, interactive.
That's how it is around my house. And they're like, oh, you crazy ladies, you know. Yeah. So apparently the bouncer went out and told Jimmy that there was a table of women to the right side of the stage that are really heckling me and, like, a real problem, and to just be careful when he gets up there or something like that. So he goes on stage, and his first joke is about how he's Catholic and he's got Catholic guilt or something like that. And the lady in the front of the table, she was like, hey, I'm Catholic.
And oh my God.
He just, like, unloaded on them. He was like, listen, you fucking bag of cunts. Like, nobody gives a shit what the fuck you're talking about. Like, he's like, I will pay your check.
Wow.
If you
was everybody,
get
what
out
did,
of here. Like, who
did
wants
they
to hear another word from these dumb C words? And he stopped for a second thinking there was going to be, like, this humongous applause. Like,
he deserved
finally
it.
Somebody said something to them.
She's like,
and
let's
it was
get
all quiet.
Here.
And all you heard was
the
lady whose birthday it was just weeping. She just started crying.
I probably would have too and let him pay my check.
So then they all got up and they were like, fuck you, like this, that, and the other thing. So I'm setting up the cell area by the door with his stuff my stuff. And it's kind of the same scenario. Like, they have swinging doors from the showroom into the bar. And the whole group of women are standing there, like, watching him on stage. And I told the bouncer, I go, hey, listen, man. I go, when this is over, they're all going to rush in here and, like, try to attack him. And the same bouncer that told them that they were a problem, he was like, don't tell me how to do my job. Like, I know how to do my job. So he gets done. He gets over there, and they all just start busting through the door, and they're, like, trying to climb over the table to get at him.
They were all.
He had, like, a bounce, like a security guy with him, and he was pushing them back. And
anything because of.
By the time it was all sorted out, the whole room full of people were gone. Like, we didn't sell anything that show. Yeah, and to think he would learn his lesson, like the late show, there was some kid that was, like, saying something or other about, like, he did a joke about killing panda bears or something about the environment, and this kid was like, yeah, it's real funny, you know, like,
those are my favorite people
or whatever,
to show up to comedy and just take
and, like,
it all seriously.
Him again.
That's bullshit.
So, like, so then it was like, yeah, I know, that helps us. But he was like, everybody was all awkward after that show, and they just left, and we were sitting
and
at the bar together.
No
and
shit.
Goes, I'm starting to feel like my temper is interfering with our merchandising
sales.
I'd like
to sell some stuff.
Yeah, I was like, can you be nice? But yeah, no, I mean, I told the story last week about the funny business stuff when I did Wisecrackers one time with... calls himself the Teddy Bear of Comedy. What's that guy's name?
He was on stage. Shit,
I'm completely blanking on his name. But he was on stage, and there was a guy kind of heckling him, and he was kind of playing with him. And the security guard told me that if you don't want to deal with a heckler, like, don't interact with him, and then we'll take care of it. So I was like, okay. So for like a half an hour, 40 minutes, I didn't interact with him. I just was on stage, like, doing my thing, and everybody's like staring at me like, say something to this guy. And when I realized they weren't going to do anything about it, I finally, like, unleashed on him. I'm like, will you just shut the fuck up? And the guy sitting behind him was like, you hear that? told you to shut the fuck up. So then they started fighting. They were like rolling over tables and like crashing glasses, and like the wait staff was trying to break them up, and security was nowhere to be found. Like they couldn't find him. And then when he showed up, he was all like, hey, I heard it was a good show. And I was like, you're kidding, right? Like these two fucking guys like almost killed each other. And they're like, he's like, what? And like the waitresses started yelling at him, like, we called you like 10 times. She's like,
he probably got fired
to deal with this shit, you know? And he looks so embarrassed, and like,
it's not even
your
fault.
He took it out on me. Like he was just a dick to me the rest of the time I was there. But yeah. No, I had one time I did Paducah, Kentucky, and there was a whole table full of people that were, like, just talking.
So sit out there.
Guys, there's a comedy show going on. You want to keep your table talk down? And they're like, hey, we haven't seen each other in years, so we're going to talk. And I was like, well, then go someplace else, because this, all these people here, you see all these people sitting around you. Right. I'm like, take a look. You see all these people? They all paid money to see me do stand-up comedy and not listen to you guys fucking talk. And, like, the whole place like exploded with applause, and
they got
embarrassed and they were pissed, and they got up and left, and the guy was like, you're a fucking dead man. And I was like, oh great. So I got off stage, the guy paid me, and he goes you might want to hang out for a bit because they're all waiting for you in the parking lot. And I go, oh, that's nice. So I waited for like an hour and a half, and then I went out to my car, and nobody was out there, so I was like, that's fine. But it just baffles me so many times. Like, I feel like it's hard. Like, we live in such a culture now of like instant stuff, you know?
Right.
That it's. I feel like it's hard sometimes for audiences to allow something to develop. You know, like it almost seems like the comics that are doing rapid fire one liners are doing better.
You don't
because it's instant. You know,
listen for 30 seconds. We don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, it's like nobody will sit there to let you kind of make a joke. Like
that was
twice
in.
Let me tell you this.
6 months I was doing
like, boring.
I was doing Rookies in South Dakota, and I did the Comedy Caravan. And two middle-aged women, both like right in the middle of my set, just yell out "boring." It happened twice within 6 months, and I was like, "Wow." Maybe it's the same lady. She just showed up.
Oh my god! She just
boring.
She's just following you to ruin your life. Every show you do.
Boring. Oh yeah.
She's like your
that guy.
Fucking what the hell?
I was
that
happy to find out that they
from
both
the Sandler movies where he just keeps
one
showing.
Lady just
boring.
Left and didn't pay her tab or anything. So and then the other lady was just drunk too and got kicked out.
Great. Sounds like a genuine human being. I think that's probably the thing that drives me the most insane now is like with YouTube and Facebook and
that's
Instagram
exactly
and Snapchat
what they
and stuff. I think people just have an air of what we do on stage is easy as hell.
Right.
And like they could do it in a heartbeat if they felt like they just you know, it's like I could do that if I wanted to. Like I don't really want to, but I could do that if I wanted. It's like I challenge those fucking people all the time now because it drives me insane when I'm like doing a show
right
and somebody's like
all the time. Like, I can't even tell you how many
I've seen better, you know.
Like,
it's like I could do better.
If
well then
you
get
can
up
do
here
it, I can
and do a joke.
Well,
let's
what
hear,
a dick,
you know. Yeah, I can't remember what the story was, but there was a guy who somebody kept like giving him shit, like he could do better or whatever, and he was like, "Fine, go ahead." And
no,
he
that's
sat in
funny.
The front row and like heckled everything that this guy was doing, so he couldn't do anything. And he's like, "Well, you're not letting me do anything." And he's like, "Yeah, see
oh,
how it feels. Now go fucking sit down." I think my favorite story of a heckler was Drew Hastings was doing Peoria, and I was opening up for him, and he was about like 10 or 15 minutes into his act, and this guy in the front row had his arms crossed, and he wasn't laughing at anything. And he goes, "Sir, it looks like you're not having a good time." And he goes, "Well, I haven't found anything funny yet." And he goes, how much was your ticket price, sir? And he goes, it was
$15. Oh, yeah.
So, like, I don't know if this was a bit that Drew does from time to time, but he had 15 singles on him.
Every time.
I kind of feel like maybe it was a bit, but he gives the guy this thing at, like, 15 singles. And he goes, there's your ticket price back. But he goes, every time I make you laugh, you have to give me $1 back. So, like, the rest of his set, he's doing this thing where he's like, you owe me $1. And, like, he'd pay him $1 or whatever. And then he got to the end of the show, and he did this huge closer.
That's funny.
And right at the end of it, he goes, you owe me $17, and walked off stage because he counted all the laughs. So it's just, like, that stuff drives me insane. Like, and you can see it all the time, just this, like, disrespect
it
from
is
the audience
more than
for what we do on stage. Like, I'm not saying it's rocket science, but it's difficult. There are hundreds of people that try this every day and they wash out of it really quick because of a few things. Like, hey, they don't have the constitution,
a lot of rejection.
They can't take the rejection and continue to want to do it. Of course. Or they just plain don't have the talent.
It's pretty funny when
they don't know how to write or perform, or one or the other. You know, like, yeah. One, I think Jimmy Wiggins was the one guy who, you know, God rest his soul, told me. He goes, you know, there's three types of comedians in this world.
Yeah, we need all three of them.
Naturally funny, the ones that
so we need all three of the kinds
that will never be funny. And it's like, what? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I don't want to get on my soapbox, but it just,
oh,
it's something that I've noticed.
Their blue lights,
like,
lighting up their face. They're trying to hide it.
In the last few years, the people on their fucking phones during the show, you know. Yeah. They can't fucking pay attention for 90 minutes. Like, they're just so distracted with everything else that's going on in their life. But I don't want to focus on the bad. Like, there are so many people that love stand-up comedy,
right?
And like, they really like go far to like see you do it if they like what you do, you know. I've had people like, I did Merrillville, and then I was in Grand Rapids, and there was like a group
that's
of people
awesome.
That drove from Merrillville to go to Grand Rapids to watch me do stand-up. And like, that
it's
type
so,
of shit just
it's
blows
so
my
cool
mind still
getting to travel
day.
And see things
I'm like,
you
drove
never
that far to see me do
even
what?
Know existed
like,
and
what?
Meeting people like hundreds of people.
Of course, man. Dude, I've been to 46 states now.
Yeah.
And
I've
seen more of this country than I think probably 90% of the country has, you know.
Oh, wow.
And to think, like, before I started stand-up
I remember
comedy, like,
being,
the furthest I
being
drove
younger,
by
teenager
myself
and living in Grand
was, like,
Junction,
Mankato.
Colorado. And thinking,
yeah,
like, Denver is the longest drive I've ever seen in my life. It's only, like, 4 hours now. If you get a show within 4 hours, you're like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nothing. But
that's the sweet spot.
We got some shows
got any
coming
parting
up.
Thoughts, Randy, for this this podcast extravaganza? Any? This is going to come
week,
up. This is going to come up in.
Oh yeah, actually I do.
It'll be posted Wednesday.
I'm doing
this week. So do you
St.
have any
Michael,
shows next week?
Minnesota at the Lay Music
I've
Room.
Got,
Lay right. Musica. Adrian Washington.
Nice.
He's
who books that?
He's with Aaron Imholt.
Adrian, all right.
That group
not
of
met
dudes,
that
St. Cloud fellers.
Oh, okay. Those that
Safari
that
Marks. That's awesome.
I will be at Safari Marks in Sedan, Kansas.
Hill City. Where are you
and
going
then
in Hill City?
Saturday, I'm doing. Doing Hill City, South Dakota.
The some, Naked Winery.
Some kind of wine place. The Naked Winery. It's one of Jeff's rooms, I guess. Kurt Fletcher was there last week, so. I like to test myself on drives.
It's like a
so
triple
got,
run.
It's like
10 hours to Sedan, and then it's like 12 back to Hill City, and then like 10 back home. So that should be a fun trek, yeah, to say the least. But I'm excited to go back to Sedan. It's a great room, and I talked to the guy over in Hill City, and he said it's a good buzz over there for 20-minute
drive.
It's always nice to do these gigs. You know, tonight we're at the Doghouse in Canyon, Minnesota. Already sold out. That's always nice to see. And
thank you.
Don't even have to sweat it.
I get Facebook tonight. Randy and Carlo.
Randy,
Twitter,
thanks for being on the program.
At Randy and Carlo.
You got any social media you want to plug?
MySpace. No Instagram.
What's your Twitter?
Nope.
There it is. Instagram? Of course, my website is always. Okay. Website? All right. Get with the times, Randy. Of course, my website is always largedrunkman.com. Check out the dates I put up there. Some of the Michael Caballero shows are coming up, so get out to those. And like I said, this week I'll be in Sedan and Hill City. If you're in those areas, come see a show. And so tune in next time when we talk about who knows.
Some old Saved by the Bell memories. You guys are going to be really fucking disappointed. Don't get me wrong, we're going to have a lot of laughs, we're going to learn some shit, we're going to have a good time, but I guarantee that at no point during my show will I be up here at any time with multicolored pants pulled up to my nipples. Normally I have a big pubic forest fro talking about how cool Zack and Slater were. Fuck Zack and Slater. I'm just saying, fuck him too. Jersey were laughing, and everywhere else in the country, they're like, goddamn, Screech is better. Holy shit. This is not the show we expected. I'm not bitter, man. I played that character for 10 years. After a decade of Screech, I am fucking not bitter. I'm horny. That's all there is to it. Yeah, Todd, that's great. Yeah, thanks a lot. No, wait. Let's play the game Spot the Fag. Got your ass kicked by Screech, how about that? Security, do you have a knife? This fucking guy's retarded, man. You guys ready to have a good time tonight? That's good, man. I'm not really bitter, I'm just having a good time. I am horny, though, that wasn't a joke. I'm like that close to tapping my own grandma. It's embarrassing is what it is. You heard me right, buddy, grandma! You can't come out on stage and apparently anywhere in the country anymore and talk about banging grandmas in the first 5 minutes and that would be okay. Well, the guys don't give a shit.
Where's the turtle?
She's in my fucking trunk. Thanks, buddy. Is that, if you're going to shout out something, is that the best you can come up with? Well, share something more with me. I've already been paid. I don't give a fuck. Come on, buddy. You got one mic? Well, share something. Don't be a cock face. Come on. Tell me something. Hey, fucker, I can hear you, buddy. Come on.
Not the fag.
How old's your grandma? I'll fuck the shit out of her, I'll tell you that right now. I'm horny as shit, man. I messed around. Played that character for 10 damn years. I'll fucking, what?
She's ready for you.
Is she ready?
Clap it,
pick the scabs, baby. I'm ready. That's fucked up. That's gross, even for this crowd. I'm not a regular comedian. I'm a storyteller. Because to me, the truth is funnier than anything you could ever make up. The truth is, we live in the internet age, and there was grandma porn out there on the internet. You heard me right, grandma porn. Trust the dust, that shit will make you spit out your soup on a Saturday afternoon, not expecting to see that. There's no warning! You got 12-year-old little bastards out there programming pop-up windows, and if you click on them, grandma porn. 12 years old, programming, smarter than me. Which is bullshit in the first place, because I spent 10 fucking years in high school. I used to be able to run circles around these little pranks. That was enticing, man. That was tricky. By getting, they want to get something that you're interested in. You're downloading stuff, a little window pops up. Get the monkey in the asshole 3 times. Win a Corvette. Woohoo! I want a Corvette. Monkey asshole. Grandma porn. Gross. Enter site. Click. That's disgusting. Next page. Oh, that's... I'm gonna puke. Download. Okay. Favorites. Guys, I'm glad to hear the girls laugh. This, I like Jersey Girls, man. Jersey Girls laugh at gross shit and be like, ha, ah, that fucking's funny. They don't give a shit. Most girls like, please tell different show. The guys like grandma porn. It's fucking gross! You see the website? See the website! I don't know! It's bangedup.com, in case you guys are curious. Bangedup, like a grannytraining.org if you're a connoisseur. I don't judge. Just, you know, 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, it's not so funny right now. It'll be hilarious tonight when your ladies go to bed and you hear chuckling from, coming from the computer room.